Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Dalet. We'd already gotten ahead over here a bit, and we got all the way up to the Haitanas Tanit VeRabbi Akiva Hi, the Marbilele Orel Ketame. So we got to that. We're up to the Mantana, which is like three lines down from the middle of the small lines. We got all the way down to there. So now this girsa that we have over here, actually the Gra takes out the words Mantana de Polagalai de Rabbi Akiva because it's very difficult to figure what in the world this has to do with the sugya of Orel. Because remember, we're saying according to Orel, according to Rabbi Akiva, Orel is going to have the same thing as a tummy. Therefore, he's going to be puzzled for Hazayah. And what follows has nothing to do with that. Because of that, all of the Rishonim struggle with it. Rashi says, well, maybe because we find that there's someone who's chaylik on Rabbi Akiva Lagabi Mechusa Kippurim, so he's also chaylik on Rabbi. The easiest solution, basically, is to take the words out, which is the Rosh's Girsa anyway, and it's what the Gra does. So he takes out the words Uman Tana de Poli, and he simply continues. It's a continuation of yesterday's sugya, Uman Tana. So in other words, we brought the Braita earlier. We interrupted to figure out that that's going Dafka Libe the Rabbi Akiva. But we brought the Braita earlier that says that a Mechusa Kippurim is actually Pasul when it came to Parah. So we want to know, okay, I mean, who exactly is the Tana that is actually, forget about Chelek Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Akiva, who is in that original Braisa that says that a Mechusa Kippurim is also Parah. So there the Gemara is saying that Tana is the Tana Kamer Rabbi Yosi HaBavli. And that's where we're up to. The Tanya. Sirefat Onein Mechusa Kippurim Kishera. And Rabbi Yosi HaBavli Omer Onein Kishera B'Mechusa Kippurim Besula. And that's what it's referring to when it was saying that a Mechusa Kippurim is Pasul, the machlokas between the two shitas that we had before, where first we listed Mechusa Kippurim Kasher B'Parah, then we had yesterday the Braita Mechusa Kippurim Pasul, the Pasul is going to Aliba, Aliba Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi HaBavli. Okay, that is very straightforward, and it basically wraps up that issue of Mechusa Kippurim Legabe Parah, and now we go on to point out that we've had, up until now, we had Reb Sheshes, basically, who seems to say that an Oral is actually Pasul for Meiser Sheni. We had Rabbi Akiva, Af Rabbi Yitzchak Shavar Oral Pasul for Meiser. There's another Shita that Pasul's an Oral for Meiser Sheni, Deom Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin La'arel She'osr B'maser. Ne'emar mimenu b'maser, ve'ne'emar mimenu b'pesach. Remember, we entertained a gzereshava mimenu yesterday because that's the way Tosafos understood the question of whether are we learning out the din of Oral from in a, two directions, so we should be able to also learn from the chomer to the kal, or was it a kal v'chomer lagabe the din of onen? And maybe it was based on mimenu mimenu. Anyway, so here the Gemara actually entertains Xereshava of mimenu and mimenu. And once again, Zoom has been very effective to put the Gabbai together with the Rebbe. And that's because, as you can see, the effects of that kind of putting together, I mean, the hand goes right out there, boom. I don't, you're not supposed to know that the Gabbai actually hits the Rebbe over the head sometimes to get him up, but we won't say anything. Okay, so this is a beautiful, once again, a beautiful Gzereshava where we're going to have to first figure out whether we've got a situation of Mufna or not again. And in this case, it's Lagabe Mimenu. So it's very interesting that the word Mimenu occurs three times by Korban Pesach and three times by Maaser. So let's take let's take a look at Rabbi Yitzchak Zadiyah. It says mimenu, we're going to see which mimenu we're talking about over here. It says mimenu by Maaser, and it says mimenu by Pesach. So, if an oral is usher by Pesach, so then it should also be usher. The mimenu would be talking about Maaser, an oral should be usher. Now, it says, I sure hope that this is a Xereshava that has extra words, because the Yelo Mufni, if it's not extra, then there's a very easy way to show that the Gezeirah Shavah makes no sense, of course, because, as we've already pointed out, for heaven's sakes, a Korban Pesach is much more chomer. Korban Pesach, Yerchayev, and Pigel, Neiser, Tameh, more chomer than Tumah. And we said over there, like we said before, Maaser Sheni, we proved, is not chayev, and not, obviously not any of this. And it doesn't have the same harchova when it comes to Tumah also. So even Pigel and Neiser is absurd in terms of Maaser, but we could easily say, how can you make a comparison, even though the comparison is Gezeirah Shavah, but a Gezeirah Shavah that is not Mufna has the same weakness that a Mamatzinu has? I mean, if you can ask a Kasha, I mean, you can ask a Kasha. Says, well, of course, lie. What do you mean, man? Of course it's extra. Okay, show me my Mufna. So where is it extra? Omer Rava, Omer Rebbe Yitzchak. Look, the word Mimenu appears three separate times by the Korban Pesach, and also, as we're going to see, appears three separate times by Maaser. Okay, so we have, by the Korban Pesach, the Isra of Lo Tochlu Mimenu, No Vashem Avushal. We have Lo Totiru Mimenu, and we have Vahanotar Mimenu Ad Boker. Right? Okay, so that's by the Pesach, three Mimenos, and I'm going to show you that we need one of them here, free for the Gezeirah Shavah. And this is what we do with it. And so one of them is to tell me the Iker Din. I mean, obviously, we need to have a Mimenu to tell me, Lo Tochlu Mimenu No Uvashem Uvushal. That's the Gufa. And that is Gufa to teach me, as Tosis points out, that we're talking about the Gufa Shal Pesach. Otherwise, I would have thought it's referring to also to the Matzah and Morah Mimenu. Mimenu says, no, it's only referring to Mimenu. Remember, we love those very special objects of the prepositions, right? So it's only the Pesach. Now, one of them is to tell me the Gezeirah Shavah. Exactly. Because one of them is Mufta. I don't need the Pesach to say the Lo Totiru Mimenu Ad Boker, because obviously we were talking about Mimenu in the one Pesach before. We're talking about Mimenu. Lo Tochlu Mimenu. The No Basham of Ushal, the Lo Totiru Ad Aboker. It would make perfect good sense. If I'm going to say Mimenu again, then that is basically freeing it up for the Gezeirah Shavah. And then we have one of them. Okay, one of them, there's a little bit of a machlokas on, because according to one man di Omar, leman di Omar ba katuv li ten lecha se acher lo tase. So remember, this is dependent on what can you be chayim malkus for leaving over Noser. Right, so this we said before, lo min hashem uzeh. It's not because it's a lav anitik laaseh according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's because it's a lav she'ein bo maaseh. Okay, but if you hold it, you need a petur over here because of the lav anitik laaseh. So then it's to provide you the aseh v'hanotar mimenu. Then beish disrov, right? And so you'll say, I mean, you don't need to say mimenu again, do you? All you need to say is v'hanotar. True, true. But remember, we have a klal, that wherever the Torah comes along to teach us a new halacha, it will repeat the wording of the previous meaning of that din, right? So that kol, that's the klal that we have that Rabbi Shmuel says, that wherever it's to tell me a dover chadash, so then it can repeat the entire parsha. So he uses mimenu for that, okay? So over there, aydi dichtiv notar, so it's referring back to that, notar, notar mimenu beish disrofu. But in a kind of need to explain what that note, the extra mimenu is for in the third one. And according to the Mandi Omru, it says that's not the reason, because we don't need a reason to tell me that you're not going to get malchus on notes. Because lav shein bo maaseh, remember there were three issues over there. One was lav shein bo maaseh, one was it's a hatra'a misofik, because when would you give hatra'a? Don't leave over Noser. What makes you think I'm leaving over Noser? Hey, man, don't leave over Noser. What the heck? What makes you think I'm going to leave over Noser? What's stopping so nervous? Okay, so it's always going to be you can't give Azara on a situation of passivity, Bechlal, right? So it's called Asra Sofek. Okay, but according to the Mandi Omar, who says that the reason that it says Vandotar Mimenu Ad Boker is to tell me that it's the next morning that you burn it, not the first morning, because the first morning is Yontev, and Ein Sorfim Karchim on Yontev, because that would be the morning of the 15th, after the Seder. So whatever's left over. Ah, there comes along to, no, Ad Boker meaning Ad Boker Sheni. You have to wait until the second morning when it's Chol HaMoed, and that means you can't burn it the night before where it's already Chol HaMoed. I have to wait until the morning. Okay, so that's coming. I did it, Ad Boker, to tell me, Liten Lo Boker Sheni Lisrefato, that you're going to need to wait until the next morning. So therefore, it also writes Mimenu for the same reason. Now, so that's one case. We've got a mimenu that's definitely extra when it comes to the maaser to the Pesach hanotar mimenu. Now, what about maaser? Well, when it comes to maaser, we also have three different psukim of mimenu by maaser, right? So this is lo achalti. So we have got all of them lo achalti mimenu. We have the ba'oni, so we have that pasuk. We have the lo natati mimenu lameid, and lo achalt mimenu batame. Okay, so then we have three mimenus. What is each one of them for? Ah, so that we're going to have to analyze which each one of them is. This is all from Vidui Meiser, one after the other, right? So first we have lo achalt mimenu ba'oni, and we also have lo biarti mimenu batame, v'lo natati mimenu lameid. So what's all those mimenus for? Well, so I'll tell you. One of them is, obviously, we need to have chad v'gufe. That we learned out aninus from there, lo achalti mimenu ba'oni. That is not extra. That's a big chiddush. That's the mocha that we learned out. Remember, we learned out kachim. We had needed a pasuk. Told me not by truma. Zaruto marti l'chavlo aninus, etc. One of them is therefore needed for that. One is coming to tell me what we had before, which was the Rabbi Abohu, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, we said that before, that the idea over there is the mimenu, you can't burn. Again, it's one of those lovely objects of the prepositions, but you can burn truma. Huh? So from there we learned out, Gufa yesterday, that you're allowed to be nene from Shemen Sreifa, which of course this provides Barnea his eggs in the morning, because how else is he going to heat up the stove? And so, okay, that's Shemen Sreifa. Now, we also have another one, and that is one tells me dinner of Reish Lakish. And that is a lovely diak. Reish Lakish was quoting Rabbi Samia, who said, Minayin l'maaser sheni, shenitma shemutal sucho. What's the din of maaser sheni is tummy? Now, you're not allowed to eat it. That we just saw, lo achalti mimenu, lo biarti mimenu batame. But would I be allowed to rub it on my skin? Even though normally we compare sicha l'shtiyah. Am I allowed to rub it on my skin? So Rabbi Samia is medayek that you can. Why? It's such a nice diak. Look at this. Shenema velonatati mimeno lamate. Now how in the world are you going to give miser to a mate? Can you explain that to me? I mean, it's going to be very hard to get him to eat any of that miser. So, what you could do, however, you could feed a mate miser. How? By rubbing his skin. So, as part of what was generally done for a mace, you would anoint the mace, same way we wash a mace before burial and so on. So, there it says, but I didn't do that. Okay, but then I'm a dying from that. Le mate, but an equivalent case of a chai. So, what do you say? Even in the event that I had the tame miser, even that, the lobiarti mimenu of a tame, I didn't give to a mate. Okay, but, I didn't give it to a mate, but of course I would be allowed to give it to a chai, which proves that a chai indeed is allowed to rub himself down with tame oil of miser. Beautiful diak of Rabbi Samuel. So lometu de lonetativ, but an equivalent case of a chai, I did use it, as I could. So, I mean, what's it referring to? Can't be referring to feeding the dead. So, ezeo devar sheshaveh b'chayim uvametim havei omer zo sicha. It's got to be a reference to rubbing the skin of the mate. Now, this is a tangential question that we have right now. So, okay, again, remember, we're popping down here on various levels. We started discussing the din of the comparison. This all began with the halacha that we said was mufna, we hoped, in the din of the orel. So we were learning out. This all started with Rabbi Yitzchak, who brought us back to the main level. The main level was the question about Orel. Remember, that's the name of the parak. And we wanted to know what the din of the Orel was by Meiser Sheni. And Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to be medayik from the Gzereshava of Mimenu Mimenu, that just like it says, Beferish, the din of Orel by Pesach, then we utilize Mimenu. And that's the oral is fairish. I mean, as Yochalbo, we wanted to use that mimenu to tell me to Meiser, which is also mimenu. That was the main drasha, and that's level one. Then we pop down to figure out, but is it really mufna? So then we had to get into six different things. We were going to be explaining what the uses of mimenu in three cases of Pesach and three cases of Meiser in order to establish that it was mufna. It turned out that one of those mimenos was a situation, of mimenu being medayek, Rish Lakish, being medayek, that the equivalent of a mimenu to a mate would be mutter for a chai, which would mean even if I have tamei, meiser sheni oil, that I won't use it for a mate, and that's part of the vidui meiser, but I can use it for a chai. Now we are going to pop down into that sugya a little bit lower here. So we're getting down now to level three, and we want to know whether that is really a correct diak. Because, I mean, what we could say is, ve'ema, how do you know that it means I didn't give it to a mate to put on the skin of the mate? How do we know that it doesn't mean I didn't use it for a mate? Meaning, maybe I utilized the meiser sheni to purchase with it Aron v'tachrichin. So I would be paid it for Aron v'tachrichin. That's for a mace. A mace needs to be dressed, right? That's tachrichei amate. So you need to purchase a coffin. Maybe that's what it means. In which case, all it's saying is, emalikach lo Aron v'tachrichin, which would mean that chai, if you want to be medayik, lo not had to be minu l'mate, but I did do it to chai, it would mean that you would be allowed to buy a new suit with Meiser Sheni. You could be quoted for a new suit. And not only for food and for drink, which was the pashtus. Maybe that's what it's coming to tell me. Anyway, Omer Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua, no, it can't mean that. Because again, if you're looking at a worshipful attitude towards objects of prepositions, then mimenu means it. And that's gufo. It's not something external. Doesn't mean that I used it sort of obliquely by turning it into money and then using its money for purchase. No, that's not what mimenu means. Ravashi says, look, I may not be that worshipful, but I certainly believe that it has to be consistent. If lo natati is a continuation of lo achalti mimenu be'oni. So that eating is about it. Obviously. So that would mean that the continued relationship of lo achalti to the lo natati means the same thing. We're talking about the same thing. The actual body of the meiser, not the translated value of the meiser. So that makes sense to me also. Lo natati, do me the lo achalti. Just like over there, it means migufo without being medayik mimenu. Afkan migufo. Anyway, so now we're popping back out to level two. Because we started discussing the mufna issue, we proved that we do have one mufna, we had chad v'gzera shava, in the case of the three for Pesach. But what if one mufna is not enough? What if you go according to Rabban D'Amar, who holds that you need mufna mishnei tzadim? This we've looked at all the time. Says the Gemara, okay, but still, it's only mufna mitzad echad hu. So, okay, according to if you're ready to accept the Gzera Shava as being absolute, and you can't ask any questions on it, just because you had one pasuk on one side of the Gzera Shava, that would be okay. But what about according to the other Mandi Omar, who says that you need mufnam from both sides? What are you going to say? Michael Amema, what would be the makor of the din of Are Lut? By Meiser Sheni. How could we learn that out from Pesach? Well, there's a solution. Because you said that one of the three halachas that we said before, so you said we need one of those mimenus to teach me. Mimenu, you can't burn. betuma. But from truma you can. Remember, that was our diuk back for truma. We have a very intricate relationships over here between the dinim of truma, meiser sheni, pesach, and the way that they're all fully integrated in this picture, which of course extended onwards because of the Mishnah and Bikurim into the relationship of Bikurim as well, Bikurim, Truma, and Meiser. So we have Bikurim, Truma, Meiser, and Pesach, which wouldn't have made sense to include in the Mishnah and Bikurim because obviously it's a totally different issue. But for us, where we're focusing on the Dinim of the Orel, we really are interrelating a lot of different sugyas, including the Dinim of Parah Aduma vis-a-vis Orel, the Dinim of Meiser Sheni, Truma, Pesach, and Bikurim. So, yeah, this is like a very beautiful weave that we have over here. And the fact is that one of the diukim where we learned out, remember, on all levels, they're interrelated. The Dinim of Aninus, and the Dinim of Arelos, and the Dinim of the Dinim of Tfuyo, and so on. They're all interrelated, and the way that the psukim present the different levels is also very beautifully interrelated and in a hierarchy structure, which we're going to be getting to in a moment, of the different levels of Taira, the different levels of issues that we're discussing. But, so one of those dinim was the din of Rabbi Avo, namely that we can be medayik from the fact that it says, I did not use the shemen of the Meiser Sheni, but I did, possibly, when I burned it, lo biartu mimenu betome, mimenu, but you can do that for truma. That gave us, Barnea's eggs in the morning. So how do I know that if I'm going to use one of these mimenus to be mufna on the other tzad, on the tzad of Meiser? Because I have an alternative. I could really learn out that halacha, that truma tamea is perfectly okay to use from Rabba Bar Avua. What is that? That is the Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, my dichtiv. Now remember, again, don't get confused. If you keep in mind the primary levels and every level of pop down, then there's nothing confusing over here. We're back to the question of a mufna. We're trying now to provide a mufna of one of the three of Meiser, which we weren't able to do before. And we're simply saying, if you need an additional mufna, then if you find a different source for one of those three, you're going to end up with a mufna. So we're saying we do have an additional source. Now, again, this is tangential. Fine, all right, but I'd like to know what we're talking about. You're saying we have an additional pasuk free? Yes, because since it says in the Torah, Vanihi neina tati lechat mishmer cherumotai. Cherumotai means two trumas. What are the two trumas? Why is it trumati? Why is it trumotai? Therefore, b'shtei terumot ha-ketuv medaber, achat truma Torah, v'achat truma tameya. So it says, ani neinatati lecha, Barnea, I gave it to you, mishmeret terumotai. So whether we're talking about truma Torah, or we're talking about truma tameya, I'm giving it to you, lecha natativ. And this provides us with the breakfast that undoubtedly will be shared with us, I'm assuming, because, I mean, it's not that we're going to be eating any of the truma or anything. We're just going to be nene from the eggs that were cooked on the shemen truma, which would be fine. And therefore, when we all go to Ira's farm, I'm assuming that you will be bringing along the fuel. We've got to help out in some way. I mean, Ira's providing the tractor. Ira's providing the swimming pool. Ira's providing accommodations. I think something should come his way. So, okay, well, it looks like he's sitting in the sukkah. I mean, he's jumping the gun. We got some time yet. And therefore, I have an alternative. So using that alternative, I can now actually end up with an extra pasuk. And this teaches me, achas truma tamea v'amarach manat lecha, which means, shalcha tehe, it shall be yours for putting under your eggs in the morning. Lahasaka tachat tafshilcha. Great. That concludes this discussion. Now, the Mishnah then talks about that kol hatmeim. So we said all of the tmeim cannot eat truma. Minani mele. Well, I mean, what do you mean? That's a pasuk, isn't it? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishom Rabbi Shmo. Om Akra. Ish. This was Rabbi Akiva's pasuk. He wanted to include even the oral in this pasuk, right? Ish mizera aharon. V'hu tzorua ozav, So, okay, we're talking about a tzorua or a zav. So, lo yochal min hakodashim ad asher yitar. All right, that's pretty straightforward. So that means he has to become tahor, and we know, as we saw before, we're going to go through that we're talking about over here, min hakodashim, is referring to truma. And that goes on to say, v'anogeh b'chol tmei nefesh, o ish asher tetzei bimeno shechvat zera. Now, all of this is quite important because, of course, we need to define, how do we know that we're talking about truma? Maybe it says min hakodashim means actually kodashim. No, because look, it says over here that we're talking about a dover hashaveh bizarro shel Aaron. Bizarro shel Aaron includes his family, right? What about his kids? What about the girls in the family? What the halacha is, there's only one thing that is exactly the same for all Zaro Shel Aaron, no restrictions, and that is truma. Okay, so Havi Omezu truma, and it says over here that if you're Tameh, you can't eat trumat. It's not referring to Kodesh because that's not Zaro Shel Aaron. Wait, what do you mean it isn't? That's not true. There's plenty of Kodesh that is edible just like truma. What about Chazav V'Shok? So, Chazav V'Shok, in other words, as long as we're talking about Kachim Kalim, Chazav V'Shok is given to Kohanim, shared with the family, as it says in Beferis, so why can't we be referring to Chazav V'Shok? It says that it's given to Lichon, it's given to Vanecha, Levnotecha, I mean, so that's Shaveh. But maybe Truma is not Osir, maybe only Chazav V'Shok is Osir. No, it can't be referring to Chazav V'Shok, you see. Because remember that this story continues on with the entire perek that we had just before this one. Namely, that if that person gets married to a Yisrael, then she can't eat it. But if he dies, she goes back to her father's house and then she can eat it. Oh, but remember we had a special pasuk to tell me she can eat it if it's truma, but she cannot eat it if it's Chazav V'Shok, right? So therefore, the entire story from the beginning telling me, well, you have to be tar and he can't marry Yisrael, and it can't be talking about Chazav V'Shok because then it wouldn't be consistent with the end of the story in which he's Chozeret V'Shava LeBeit Aviyah K'ne'ureha wouldn't apply to Chazav V'Shok. It only is for Kachim. For Truma, and not for Kachim, even though they're called Truma, right? This is the Truma Sakoin of that your Merim from the Shlomim that she's not allowed to eat. Remember, we're Medakdek from the Pasuk. Okay, so then what are we talking about here? Not Kachim, but straight out Truma. Eina Bechozeret. Well, I mean, so you say the same thing about Truma. Truma is not really kosher for Zaro Shel Aaron. I mean, what if she is a Chalala? No, that's the whole point, my dear. Chalala is not Zaro de Aaron. That's the point. Chalala means she was Michalelet. I mean, it doesn't mean she was herself personally Michalelet, but she could be born from a Chalal too. I mean, but whatever the case is, that is no longer a coin because the meaning of Chalal is the Chilul of the Kedusha of the coin. She doesn't have the Kedusha of the Kuna. That's not a Kasha. So that's very simple. So, okay, all right, so now I understand we're talking about truma, and now I understand that it means that you can't eat truma while you're tummy. But how do you know when it says, ad asher yitar, until you become tahor? I mean, how do you know that it means it's enough for sunset? Maybe ad asher yitar means until you bring a carbon, which would mean that if you're mechusar kippurim, you would need to bring a carbon. So, ad ikar of shemesh, maybe it means ad maite kapara. Because it says ad asher yitar. No. Impossible. You know why? Because, look, and here's why I said it's very important for us to define what the cases are. Because ish v'hu tzarua ozav. Now, what's fascinating about that, and then the next piece talks about o asher yiga, betamei nefesh, o ish asher yirashik mazera. These are different, aren't they? Because the Darga of Tumazivos and Saras is not the same as a Balkari is not the same as someone who touched a Tomei Mace, obviously, right? What's the difference between them? There's two differences. One difference is that the first ones are Tumas Shiva. So a tzaras requires 7 days to get out of that tzaras, whether it's a mitzora muzgar, whether it's a mitzora muchlat. And a zav, who is more than Baal Riyah Achatz, which is just the Baal Keri anyway in terms of the halacha, so even his Baal Shtei Re'iyot, he requires 7 days. Now the question is, here is where things are a little bit iffy, but there are two kinds of zavs and there are two kinds of mitzora. A mitzora muchlat not only requires 7 days, but at the end of the 7 days, he's got to go through that whole bringing of a carbon. So he's a mechuser kippurim. A zav, it depends. If he's a Baal Sholosh Riyos, you remember, he has to bring a carbon. So he's a mechuser kippurim. Which one are we talking about? This is a pretty tricky pasuk. Tzaruah Ozav, okay, but which Tzaruah Ozav? So that's going to make a tremendous difference, because if you're telling me Ad Asher Yitar, and it's referred to as a Baal Sholosh Riyos, or a Mitzora Muchlat, then it means Ad Asher Yitar would include Havas HaKarba. If it's talking about a Zobashterios and a Mitzora Muzgar, then it would mean Ad Asher Yitar, meaning only until he was no longer a Tfulyom. Which one is it? Therefore, says the Gemara, well, we know the answer to that, because we're not talking about a Kapora, because the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. The Pasuk has got to be speaking about a Zav who is only Baal Shtei Re'iyot, who b'mitzora muzgar akatub medaber. How do I know? Because why do you think that it says in this Pasuk, after talking about the Tzarua Ozav, O Isha Sheyigaba Tamei, there's no such thing as a Tamei who's a Mechusa Kapora. I got news for you, right? Certainly not the last case of a Baal Keri. So therefore, Matamei Nefesh, maybe 7 days, but there's no din of bringing a Kapora. So Matamei Nefesh lav bar kaparahu, O Hanami lav b'nei kapara. Therefore, when it says Asher Yitar, and what would you say? Until he brings his carbon? What carbon? Who carbon? Where carbon? The same thing about a carbon over here. Exactly. So the Pasuk went out of its way to talk about a case where there is no Chisur Kippurim. Therefore, Ad Asher Yitar cannot be talking about him. Chisur Kippurim, QED. Wait. Wait a minute. QED what? That the Pasuk is not talking about where you're high of a carbon. Okay, fine. Now, let me ask you something. And what would happen if you are high of a carbon? How about in that case? I mean, isn't it possible that in that case, you would require total Tahorah? So, I mean, maybe what the Pasuk is saying is, even if your tummy, in a very chomor fashion, we only need Harif Shemesh. Well, yeah, of course. There's nothing else to do. But maybe in Achinami, if we were talking about a case where there was a chiyuv of carbon, then Ad Asher Yitar would mean exactly what it sounds like it means. You'd have to have a complete tahara. So Ema Hanimili Delav Bar Kapara. But what about a case where you would be a Bar Kapara? What would be the din of a Mitzora Muchlat? So then you would have to bring the Kapara, right? And listen. Remember that we had these different levels. Remember in the Goyim? So we had the Mishnah said, Taval v'ala, I've read this many times, Taval v'ala, the moment that you go to the mikveh, ki imra chatz b'saro. You come out of the mikveh, it's nowhere near sunset, you could sit there and eat meiser. If there's harif shemesh, then you can even eat truma. If you're chayv kapara, so then hevi kapara, then you can even eat kachim. Okay, where do we get all of that? Where do we get this gradated Tahara, in which we have three dargas, which basically has come out from all of the discussions we've had over here of the interrelationship between Meiser and Truma and Pesach, and then we talked about Shar Kodshim and so on. Okay, where does all of this come from? It seems awfully complicated. Omar Rava, Omar of Chista, we've got ourselves three psukim again. If we analyze those three psukim, we come up with our three-stage process of Tahara, which affects our three-stage levels of Chumrah, including pink oxes and machpazes and everything else. So here's how we would learn that. Let's take a look at our three psukim. Omer Rav, Omer Rav Chista. Okay, one pasuk tells me about Tuma, Ish Ish Bizer Aharon, And it continues to say, V'lo yochal min ha-kodashim ki imra chatz b'soro b'may. Now, we proved before that ish mish bizarro shel Aaron is referring to truma. Okay, but it says over here that if he was rachatz b'mayim, he's tahor. But then the next pasuk says, ubo ha-shemesh v'tayar. So then why did you say kim rachatz b'mayim? Wait a minute. Rachatz b'mayim doesn't do anything. Oh, but it does. And then there's a third pasuk. Oh my God. It's not even enough uba shemesh v'taher. Because when it comes to Parshas Tazria, what does it say over there? That a yoledet, who is b'chuseret kippurim, is going to need v'chiper aleha ha-kohen. And only after the kapara on this yoledes is brought, then v'tahera, but up until that point, she's still considered to be tmeah. So we now we got three completely different levels over here. I mean, contradiction in the pasuk. Is it the idea of rachatz b'saro? That's what the Rebbe seems to hold. You know, they always just go to the mikveh in the morning and they're already ready to daven. They don't wait 7 days. Well, some Rebbes do if they don't daven for the next 7 days. But if there's clearly just washing one's flesh, and then we have so, rachatz b'saro, and then we have some other darga which is talking about something else, which is uba shemesh v'taher, and then we have this other darga which is the v'chi peralel, which obviously refers to a korban. See how beautiful it is? Very clearly the Torah has set out different dargas of tahara. All right, so haketzad. Solution is simple. The first level is maaser. The second level is truma. And the third level, referring to the yoledet, is lekodashim. There you go. Oh, I mean, I don't know. It sounds good, but maybe we should do it the other way around. Maybe we should say, first level, the rachatz b'saro is truma. And level two, which requires Harif Shemesh, is referred to Maaser Sheni. But wait, we already know that Truma is more Chomer than Maaser Sheni, because Truma is, don't forget, Machpaz. And Machpaz, Mita, for Achila Bayezar, Chomesh, for additional payment, Pidyon, which is, you can't be part of the truma, and the iser for zar, machpaz, says the Gemara. But wait, I've got something new to throw into the machpaz pinkax consideration. And what is that? Hadas tov. Look at that lovely hadasa. Okay, what does a hadas tov stand for? It tells me the ways that Maaser Sheni is of greater chumrah and kedusha then the truma itself, because a hadas tov stands for, hey, stands for hava'at makom. You've got to bring it to Yerushalayim. You don't have to do that for truma. And then we have vidui, because we had vidui maaser, right? That's very chashuv. And then we have tuma, meaning the iser of burning maaser betuma, which does not apply, as we said, to truma. Truma, we do burn it. And then we have biur. There's no din of biur coming as we get biur out of his house or anything. Okay. So then that shows that a hadas tov is more reason to say that we should be machmir on the meiser. I'm going to explain this one. Well, I would say that the very fact that there's a chiyav misa bidei shamayim for a tamei who eats truma, whereas a tummy who eats meiser is certainly not chayav misa bidei shamayim, that itself shows that it's more chomer. And taking that into consideration, taking the onesh into consideration as a giloy of the violation, it therefore makes sense that that itself proves whatever other issues are involved. But that is Baruch Avram. So that itself shows that there is a greater chomra when it comes to truma. Therefore, the truma should require the Erev Shemesh. Robert says, you don't need to come on to that. Even below Mita Adifa, you still wouldn't have been able to entertain the notion that the Pasuk was referring to truma when it says that you need to wait for Uba Hashemesh v'Teher, because the lashon of the pasuk is specifically the nefesh lo yochal min hakodashim av asher. The lashon over there is the yitar rachatz v'sarah b'mayim, and so on. But what is a nefesh? A nefesh is always used as the universal nefesh, the human. Well, I mean, certainly you can't suggest that Kohanim are human. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but you certainly cannot suggest that a Kohen is just like any other human. There we go. Now we get a smile. So, therefore, the nefesh would mean the universal nefesh would be kosher for anybody. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, that would only refer to Ma'aser Sheni. Zavi Omer, Sheshavah, B'chol Nefesh, that's got to be referring to Ma'aser. Okay, fine. Now I understand that there are three dargas in the three psukim in order of Maaser, Truma, and the Kachim. But I still don't understand how you know for sure that in a case where there is a chiyuv of bringing a kapara, such as the Zav Bal Shalosh Riyos or the Mitzora Muchlat, maybe then we have to apply level 3, even to Truma. So maybe Hanimili Echad Lav Bar Kapara. So in a case where there's no Chiv of the Kapara, yes, I understand that. And that's what Tanit Verbi Shmuel said we're talking about. But what if there would be a Chiv of Kapara? Maybe you have to bring the Kapara. Omer Abaye, this is so wonderful. Omer Abaye, because the Yoledet clause, which we used to say v'chiper alea hakohen v'tahera, has got another sneaky issue in it. Now, dig this, okay? Because there's two contradictory psukim within the story of the Yoledes herself. Incredibly, it says, ad milot yemei tahora. So then that means that this woman, at the Melot, so Shloshim Yom or Shloshet Yomim, we have for the difference between the Zarcha and the Keva. So it says over there, Teshev Vidmei Torah, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Ve'el HaMikdash Lo Tavo, Ad Melot Yemei Tara. What is the Melot Yemei Tara, gentlemen, huh? Melot Yemei Tara means Harif Shemesh, essentially. Remember that Harif Shemesh, remember that Harif Shemesh, okay. I'll let go. Remember that Harif Shemesh does not necessarily mean that you can look at your watch and see what the time of Shkia, or Tseis rather, we should say, shall be today. Oh, they didn't used to have watches to do that. But anyway, it would mean that when the sun sets on the day that is the day before you're going to bring your carbon, that is called Tfulat Yom Aroch. It's a very long day, 40 days long, 80 days long, or 33 days long, 66 days long. It's a very long day, but the Melot Yemei Tara is sunset on the 80th day, the night of the 81st, the night of the of the 41st day, right? And it says, Beferish, Ad Melot Yemei Tara, that afterwards, there is b'chol kodesh lo tiga. No, she can't. V'al ha-mikdash lo tava. No, she can't. Wait a minute. Didn't you say v'chiper alei ha-kohen? I am so confused. So is it a din in v'chiper alei ha-kohen, which means that she needs to bring a carbon, or is it a din in a sunset, which is a tulas yom? So says a buyer. Obviously, we're talking about two different situations. There's two psukim b'yoledet. Ad Melot Yemei Tara shows that even Shemal Uyamea Tara. But we have the other pasuk that says V'chiper Alea HaKohen V'Tahera. That explains a stira like that, smack bang in the middle of the same halacha of a Yoledet. I'll tell you. Gradations, my friend. One is talking about the heter of the Yoledet to eat truma, and one is talking about the heter of eating kachim. So to eat kachim, like we said before, there you need to have a bringing of the kapora and a mechuseret kippurim would be a surah. To eat truma, you do not need, even in the case of Yoledet, which is by definition a mechuser kippurim. For truma, you do need it. For kachim, you don't. Says the Gemara, come on, I mean, that's not reasonable. We know that kodesh is more chomer than truma, because just look at that pink ox walking all over the place. And a pink ox is going to be much more chomer, because remember that a pink ox is chayav in pigol. No, sir. Korban, mi'ila, chayav kores, osir la'einin. It's written all over in brilliant technicolor. And therefore, it shows that the kodesh is more chomer than truma. But have you forgotten? Machpas, as you see truma. And over there we have, again, mita, chomesh, pidyan, zorim. That's our remez in machpas. Yeah, but remember, there are more pink oxes than machpasim around. And of course, as usual, Rava says, don't count. You don't need to get into the issue of whether there's more machpasas than pink oxes, or vice versa. All you need to note is below Hanach Lefishin, you could never entertain the notion that kachim would be the thing that you could eat without bringing a kapara. Obviously. Okay? How do I know? Very simple. It says in the pasuk, v'chiper aleha hakohen v'tahera. Okay, now what does that tell you? That before v'chiper aleha hakohen, she was not v'tahera, right? So you're saying, okay, but I mean, it also says ad yimot melot yimot tahara. That's our question. No, it's not. Because once I have any level of residual tumah, you want to call it a chusik kippurim, residual tumah, I don't care what you want to call it. The bottom line is, does it not say, v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel? Yes or no? Just answer the question. If kodesh touches anything that's tamei, anything, kol tamei, is she tamei or not? Well, I mean, is she tamei or not? It says it requires v'chiper aleha in v'tahera. I mean, it's pretty clear that before she's tareya, then she's tameya. And that would mean you cannot eat kachim, because you're going to be metamei it. Elashmamina b'truma. Matkiflor of shisha b'reder of ivi. How can you say that we're talking about truma in this pasuk, in the first pasuk of the Yoledes, that she becomes tohara ad melot yemei tahara, via Tanya? Take a look at the braita. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Emi el b'nei Yisrael. I understand that b'nei Yisrael have a din of tumat Yoledet with all of these halachas and something. Where would I know that a giyoret and a shivcha mishuchreret should say, how do we know that they have exactly the same din of tumat? Talmud lomar, isha ki tazria. Now, do you think we're talking about truma, really? How could we be talking about truma? Where would we have a giyoret or a shivcha eating truma? Omar Rava, what do you mean? The low? The active b'chol kodesh lo tiga l'rabot ha-truma. And so that tells me that if she's included in the Yoledes, then she's included in this. So obviously the pasuk is talking about various things that are dinim in Leda. It doesn't need to tell me specifically this one applies to all of them. It doesn't mean everything applies to everybody. The Iker Din applies to everybody. The question of whether you're eating truma, that's a question of whether you were given truma to eat. That is something else. So kro mili mili chashiv. So therefore, we're teaching over here about truma, where truma is applicable, and where it's not, we're just teaching you about the halach of tumas leida. Okay, fine. Now, since we're in a flow of three by threes, right? So we've got three mimenos with Pesach, and we've got three mimenos when it comes to Meiser, and we've got three different sukkim of level of Tahira when it comes to Meiser, Truma, and in additional, the Dinim of Kachim. Why did we end up with three completely different dinim that we said are all nogea truma? How did that happen? I mean, we've had the ish mizera aaron, and there it says ad asher yitar, right? So that's one pasuk, and then we had uba shemesh v'taher, that's another pasuk, and then we had ad malot yemei torah with the case of the yoledet. And now it turns out that even though we also had three dargas, but we ended up explaining that there were three different psukim when it comes to truma. I mean, what do we need three different psukim for? We need all of them. Because let's say it would have only said Ad Asher Yitar. I don't know what that means when you say Ad Asher Yitar. I mean, even though it says Ad Asher Yitar, what does Ad Asher Yitar mean? Tvila? Tvila with Erev Shemesh? Tvila plus Erev Shemesh plus Avos Karbonas? I wouldn't know. Okay, so fine. So that's an introduction to the idea that something I need to do. So you'll say, all right, so then skip that. Okay, just say Ubo HaShemesh V'Taher. I mean, so that's enough. No, then I would have thought that the Bar Shemesh V'Taher is only where there's nothing beyond that he needs to do. Namely, he's not a Mechusar Kippurim. But what about if he was a Mechusar Kippurim? So then I would think maybe he in fact has to bring a Kippur. That's why we have the Pasuk by the Yoledet to tell me that Ad Melot Yumei Tahara. Okay, so fine. So then just write Ad Melot Yumei Tahara from the Nida, and now I would know the din, I mean, that's the Tvulas Yom Aruch. I mean, and if it's a Tvulas Yom at the end of today, it would be the same thing as the Nida at the end of her 40th day, the end of her 80th day, right? So why do I need the whole first part? Oh, because how do we actually know that it is always necessary to first go to the mikvah? How do we know that there's no concept of attenuation of Tumah by the passage of time? I mean, this is basically what happens with the Yoledet. I mean, it's true she goes to the mikvah first, but, I mean, where do we know all of that from? Maybe Yomei Melota. I mean, isn't it really weird when it comes to the Yoledet, where she's actually still bleeding, and the tomb of the blood disappears? That's considered to be Yomei Tohara, despite the fact that she's still in the state of what made her Tumea in the first place. So, obviously, the time is definitive, right? So, okay, so maybe that's the point. You have to wait until the end of the day until there's an attenuation of the tumor, or the end of 40 or 80, 80 days in the case of Yoledet. But how do I know that you must have Tvila B'mikva to start this whole process? Katav Rachmana, Ad Asher Yitar. No, actually, first, there's that first step of Yitar. Okay, so then the Yitar is the Rachatz B'Sara. Wait a minute. You know something? We said before the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel proved from the relationship of Ish Ish Mitzora V'Zav and its connection to Nogea B'Tamei Nefesh or Ish Asher Yatzar Mimenu Shechvat Zera, that that means that we're talking about a Zav Bal Shteiriyot and a Mitzora Muzgar, but not everybody agreed with the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. How about according to the Tana, who argues and says that, no, on the contrary, we're talking about a Zav Bal Shalosh Riyot, and we're talking about a Mitzora Muchlat. And indeed, when it says Ad Asher Yitar, it means until he brings the Kapora, the Korban, and when it says Yochal Min HaKodashim, it means Kodashim. It doesn't mean Truma. So now we end up with two separate psukim by Kachim. Trei Kroi B'Kachim Lomali. And that, says the Gemara, will conclude with this. I do need two psukim by Kachim. Because let's say I only have the pasuk by Yoledet. That, like it says, V'chiper alei kohen v'tahera. That's when she can eat Kachim. I would say, well, that may be true. But, I mean, she's been through hell, this poor woman, right? She has been to Mea for 80 days, maybe. 40 days. I mean, this is like a very long process. So I understand that to conclude that process, if you haven't brought your korban, then you're not going to be able to eat kachim. But, I mean, let's suppose we've got a guy who's tummied for 7 days. So he's a zov bal shalosh rias. I mean, okay, he's at the end of 7 days. Who's to say that you need to bring the... I understand it's a mitzvah to bring a carbon, but who's to say that if you don't bring the carbon at your tummy? I mean, you haven't been through very much, have you? On the other hand, suppose we would have had the pasuk of Ish Ish for who's of, and I would have known that over there you need Asher Yitar, meaning the carbon. I would have said, well, of course. Let me ask you something. Can a zov still be leaking and be tame? No. But can a yoledet still be leaking and be Torah? And be Torah? No. But a yoledet can. So there's no hutar michlalo. When it comes to a zov, you're never going to say that zivas is tar. Whether you're talking about a male or female zov. Zivas is never tar, never, ever, ever tar. But a yoledet, oh, well, now, a yoledet can actually be royadam, and it's called Yemei Torah. So then maybe, since it's not so chamur, maybe indeed she can get away without bringing her korban and can eat kachim even without it. Therefore, I need the pasuk to say, v'chiper alea ha-kohen v'tahera. Whew. Okay, so now we've got the two psukims, the three psukims, and the different dargas, and we're getting clearer about the dinim of tuma as the end of tyra as they apply to the cases which we're talking about, including the dinim of arelus and aninus, not only with tuma, and that includes paraduma, meiser sheni, truma, kachim, bikurim, amazing.